It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today as we study the precious Word. We're in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll begin. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to look into your scripture and find Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after reading of this sweet, precious scripture. Father, I thank and praise you that you have given us your word, that we may enjoy it. Have us not to abuse it. Have us to read it and enjoy it each and every day, and often each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Now, please, that you would guide and lead us as we study your word today, as we enjoy your word today. Please, that you will show us your way and will for our lives as we continue to study, especially, particularly the sixth verse today. Father, please show us what happened when you went from Adam and Eve being in perfect fellowship with you, perfect fellowship with each other, to separated from you and no fellowship with you. Father, please guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study, that we may learn, always learn from your word. Please show us the Lord Jesus Christ, the need that we have for him, that we may trust by faith in him, have our sins forgiven, and let us be set free, Father, and on our way to a wonderful fellowship, eternal fellowship with you. Please, Lord, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we looked at the separation of Eve and Adam now, and this is about the third time we've been together that we're looking at this separation. And it is a terrible time to have only two people upon this earth, Adam and Eve. One is still in a perfect man, perfect spiritually, perfect physically, in fellowship with God, wonderful fellowship. Eve, at this time now, in the middle of verse 6, we find that Eve is spiritually dead. She is a lost sinner, and we find that she is started to physically die. You know, as we looked at these verses of Scripture in a little bit of review here before we continue through the study, we find that Adam, he has lost his bride. He has lost his helpmeet. Adam is innocent and holy, and Eve again is a sinner sentenced to die and has died spiritually, totally separated from God. What a parting, what a separation between the two. We looked at some verses of Scripture, and I would like just to continue to add to those. We've talked about why Eve was the one that was chosen, that the serpent went after Eve, and as we looked at the purpose and the reason for why that the devil, Satan, went after the serpent and used such a knowledgeable, such a beautiful beast of the field to come after and to deceive. I believe that Adam and Eve was in almost constant fellowship with God's creation as they would communicate with them. And I think probably the serpent, with what we know of this animal, of this beast, that he was the most beautiful, the most knowledgeable, and so probably had almost a constant relationship and fellowship with Adam and Eve as they had with God and with all the creation that they had. And so when this serpent was taken over by Satan and went after Eve, I think in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto thy wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." The weaker vessel, the Scripture tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I believe that's another reason why that the devil went after Eve instead of Adam, because she is called the weaker vessel. She is to be a completer of the man, a helpmeet of the man. And so the devil felt that she was going to be an easier mark to destroy, and it turns out that she made that decision, that she chose that she would be wise, to be learning, you know, the pride of life. And I've got another verse of Scripture here I want to show you. First John and chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. If you'll remember the trick that the devil used, that the serpent used upon Eve, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. And that's the sixth verse, the first half, the sixth verse in Genesis 3:6. Well, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Those are the very things that the devil used to trick, to deceive Eve. And we look that when this has happened, we know the eyes of them both were opened in verse 7. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Upon Eve eating, immediately before Adam has eaten, and that's kind of where we're looking at what had to take place, what decision that Adam had to make here. And so we're still with Eve has made the choice. She has not given it to Adam. Now, fallen Eve, she finds herself naked and exposed. She has for the first time now a guilty conscience. She has for the first time a perverted mind, not a perfect mind. And for the first time, she begins to see the wrath of God. Because, you see, she was disobedient. The rule she broke. There was one rule, not to eat of that the tree of good and evil. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. One rule, one command was given, and the devil went after her. You see, again, the devil wants company. The devil enjoys folks to fellowship with, and the devil hates, at this time, hates Adam and Eve before Eve ate of the fruit. The serpent, the devil indwelling the serpent, controlling the serpent, hates man, hates God, because, you see, he has a constant torment of what he had when he was the angel of light. And now we find him to be the angel of darkness. And so in that simple decision to make himself as God, he has fallen from the grace of God, from the presence of God, and we find that he desires then to have company with him, and he has set out, and he hates the fellowship that he hates all of God's creation. He hates man, he hates God, and he wants company. And the only way that he can really get back at what God has done, and that's the way he looks at it. It was a choice and decision he made, but I have to get the man away from the fellowship of God. I will destroy their fellowship. I will destroy this creation that he has made. And that was what Satan set out to do. And he went after Eve to do that. Her being the weaker vessel, felt that it would be an easier mark, and he went after. Now, let's see what Adam, what decision he has to make here. Once again, Eve is dead, has no communion with God or with Adam, cannot, there's no communication. We find that as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, we read last time, they are unequally yoked, and we are commanded today not to be unequally yoked. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and your spouse is not, please, I'll be in prayer for you. You be in prayer for your spouse. You be a testimony and a witness that that spouse of yours would be saved, that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no love between you. There is no comfort between you. There's no security there. It's a sad day when there's two people that are married that are unequally yoked. It's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in this old world. Any time that you desire fellowship of the lost and you would rather have them than to come to church and enjoy the fellowship of other believers, oh, please that you look at your heart, because I wonder if you're saved yourself, if you would rather have the world than have the fellowship with believers. Now, again, unequally yoked. If you're not married and you're looking at marriage, the one you're to marry needs to be saved if you're saved. You need to pray for them, and you need to not marry them if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And don't say now, if you're not going to be saved, then I'm not going to marry you, because they can say the words. You got to get them under the Word. Let that Word convict their heart. And then they can be yoked as they should be, and not unequally, as the Scripture talks here. Oh, to have the love of Christ. You know, when two people come together and they truly become one, not only physically, but also spiritually, because both know the Lord Jesus Christ, they have an opportunity, their life, the fruit of the Spirit, a believer should produce this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That should be the quality of a believer. That should be the character of a believer. You should see that. You should know that. And especially between a husband and a wife, both that know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful fellowship can be present when both are saved. It cannot be there if one is lost and one is saved. Please, we're finding right here the very first time of being unequally yoked because of a decision that Eve made. Now, what needs to be done? What can be taken care of here? Eve has fallen. Adam has not. They're totally separated. They cannot be together in any way. Again, I've lost my bride, my helpmeet. Eve needs a redeemer. Eve needs to be brought back up to Adam's level. Because, you see, she has fallen into sin. Adam can have nothing to do with her. How can we get her back? Can she say, I'm sorry, and get back? No. What is the cost here? Thou shalt surely die. That was the words in verse 18 of the second chapter. Thou shalt surely die. And so you see, the only way to pay this debt will be by death. By death. She is spiritually dead. She's going to have to physically die. And she is in the process of dying right now. I need to be redeemed. That's what Eve needs. She needs to be redeemed. Now, as we look at this verse of Scripture, Eve needs a Savior. Eve needs a Savior. One called it a kinsman redeemer, one from her own seed. If I have to die physically, if that's the cost here, there must be a Savior. There must be a Redeemer. There must be some means, some way to save her. How much did Adam understand? How much did Adam understand of God's plan? When Eve fell, how much did he understand? The cost of sin is death. Someone must die. That debt needs to be paid for. Now, we know in the 15th verse of chapter 3, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I don't know if you ever realized, but that's the very first time that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection is presented. We don't have to wait for the New Testament. It is given right there. How much of that did Adam understand? That a Redeemer will be given. That Redeemer will come, and it must come through the seed of the woman. Well, how can a Redeemer come if there's no children, if there is no seed? Adam and Eve must come together. But they cannot come together because Adam is of God. Eve is of Satan. They have been separated spiritually and physically. They have been separated. Do you realize the separation that took place when Eve made that decision? When Eve decided that she wanted to be a little bit smarter, she looked, and between her appetite of wanting to be great, her appetite for the very food, whatever the item, whatever turned her to this decision, whatever it was. And we know the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die, for God know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. The devil tempted Eve by offering her something that seemed to be something greater than what God had given her. Something more important than what God can give. Now, we need to be very careful that our life is not set up on things of this life, because and we leave God out of decisions. I see so often today with children and young people getting up into the high school years and beginning to make decisions of which college and what profession to go into. And very, very few do you ever find that they have spent time And parents, have you spent time to be in prayer that you put that child goes where God wants that child to go, to that college for that purpose, that they may be prepared to be a strong witness of giving the gospel out. No matter what field or profession they go into, we need to be where God wants us to be. But most of the time, we set our goals for our work upon two things. One, that if I go to school to do this, will I have a job? And if that job is very available, then that job will pay me money, lots of money. And that's the decision that's made. There is no time in prayer. There's no thought of what's going on. It is concerning the desires of self. We want something for ourselves, and we don't even ask God for His direction. Here, Eve had everything. She was perfect. She had a perfect husband. She was in perfect fellowship with God. She had everything in the garden that anyone would need. But the devil come, and he started to change God's word, and that's what happens today. God's word gets changed, and we begin to question and doubt. I hope that you believe that God's word is His perfect. It's inerrant. It's perfect. Please, that you will look to the Word of God, trust the Word of God fully from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, that you know God's Word, study God's Word, search God's Word, that you will know how to be saved, that you will be saved, that you will begin that wonderful walk of being holy. You need to look unto the Word of God for this. It's the only place it can come. Salvation can only be found by God's Word, and holiness, sanctification, a walk that's pleasing unto God, can only be found in His Word and nowhere else. And when we begin to change it, as Satan changed it, he offered Eve something that she thought was more important than what she had. Be careful. As that offer was made, she took of that offer. And we find now that Eve is lost, Eve is separated. Eve needs a redeemer. The question I said earlier, how much does Adam understand? I believe he realizes that the only way that Eve will ever be redeemed is if there is a seed comes from them, so that that seed can be produced down through the generations, that a Savior will be born. A Savior will come. Now again, Adam knew what he was doing when he made the choice. Eve's Redeemer must be human, the seed of a woman. Adam and Eve, there is no one else, there is no other way that this Redeemer will come. Because you see, this Redeemer must be human. Man must die. When Adam sinned, when Adam took of the forbidden fruit given to him by Eve, when he did that with full knowledge of what he was doing. Eve was tricked. She was deceived. I'll show you some verses of Scripture that'll confirm that if you question that. But when Adam made the decision to go after his bride, he did that and made that decision with full knowledge of what the consequences were going to be. They can't come together. One's a lost sinner, and one is Son of God. Now, as you look at the Son of God, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Adam, the first man, was created by God in full and complete fellowship with God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to be the same. He came to earth, took on the body of a man, in full and complete fellowship with God His Father. Question comes, how will this communion be restored? Eve can't be lifted up without a Savior. Adam's perfect. He can have no part of Eve. There's only one choice that Adam has. Adam must go down to Eve. Eve can't come up. Adam deliberately, willingly, with full knowledge of what the consequences will be, He took of the fruit, and he did eat. We sin because we're sinners. Adam knew no sin. Adam knew no sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born into sin. Because of Adam's sin, because of this decision he made, he placed all of us into sin. You think, well, Adam should have stayed and not sinned. If he'd have done that, there would have been no redemption. He could not have redeemed his bride. He could not save his bride. No matter, he was a perfect man, had the world at his fingertips, and yet he could not. There is nothing he could do to reach down and snatch Eve and bring her back to him. He couldn't do it. He had to go down to her. He had to go down to her. Now, if you question this, let's look at 1 Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy. If you think that both were deceived, then we need to go to the Word of God, because you see, that's where the truth is found. That's our authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 12 through verse 15. Now listen very carefully to this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved by childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. How much did Adam understand? I believe that he knew that the only way to take care of this is to go down himself. Adam was not deceived. Go down to redeem Eve. And he did that by coming down, accepting the forbidden fruit, now being separated from God. But the ability now is to produce that seed. And that seed would be their Savior. The seed would come. And we have again in the 15th verse that I've read to you. Now let's very quickly, and we may have to do this next time we come together, we find that Adam has made a decision. He was not deceived. The woman is not to be put in a place of authority, not to be put in a place of responsibility where she has authority or responsibility over man. She's a helpmeet. She's a completer. Now, today's world, we're all turned around. And you'll find that there are many of the false religions that have started from women. And many men are following them. Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Science. Look at Catholicism. Look at how the Catholic Church has placed Mary in the position she has. So many of our false religions have a basis of the woman. What did the Scripture say back in 1 Timothy? I suffer not for a woman to teach or to have authority over the man. We've changed that, haven't we? We've changed God's word. We say that doesn't amount, is not important today. Well, I'm going to show you the picture here, not only of the decisions that was made, the scripture we read in 1 Timothy, but also how this is such a beautiful picture of Christ, the Lord Jesus. And we'll start there the next time we come together, and I'm sorry I didn't get to that today. Let's look to the Word of God. Let's trust in it. Let's know the truth of it. And the only way we can do that is to study it. My dear friend, that wonderful question, what are you going to do about Jesus?